searching for someone to fill the void in your heart? Have you been searching for someone to take all your pain away? Come see a man who died so you can have eternal life. Come meet a man that loves you more than you'll ever know. Let me introduce you to a man, a king, a savior, a provider. My friend, I introduce to you.
Sunday morning to you and all. Today we have a sermon entitled, I Know the Plans I Have for You, and therefore we shall sit down, enjoy our service today, and certainly give honor to God, the head of all of our lives, whether we believe it or not, the truth shall set us free. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, I know the plans I have for you. Today we are dealing with a crisis in our world, and so this is very timely. And so we get ready for our word from God. We hope to hear a word from God. We need to listen. We need to be prepared. We need to put it into action and continue to move forward and continue to look upward. I want to give a shout out to all of my listeners, to new and old. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I also want to give a shout out to my family, to my husband, and certainly to my mother in studio here with us today also. So we shall get ourselves ready, get ourselves prayed up, pumped up, and then we shall see what the Lord has for us this day. So let us start. We shall rejoice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. What a wonderful name it is. What a powerful name it is. We should never forget. Let us pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we come this day giving you praise and thanksgiving, Father God, and we request your presence to be here, Father God, to be with us, Father God, to anoint us, Father God, to sustain us, Father God, to provide and supply, Father God. And Father God, while you are present, Father, we hope that we can do you justice. Father, we ask that we could be able to just humbly come before your throne of grace and mercy. And Father God, you said we have but to ask and it shall be done in the name of your beloved Son, Father God. And so therefore we come, Father, as his brother, as he is called our Savior, our Lord, our Master. Father God, in the name of Jesus. We pray this day for the world. We pray this day for healing. We pray for restoration, Father God. We pray for revival, Father God. We pray for an abundant harvest, Father God. We pray for those who have lost their way, Father God. We pray for those who are seeking you, Father God. And Father God, right now we seek to hear from you. In the midst of our trial and our tribulation, Father God, more grand than it's ever been, Father God, the world economy is being affected. The world health is being affected. People's jobs and their well-being is being affected. Father God, we speak to stress. We speak to finances, Father God. We speak to health, Father God. We speak, Father God, to that thing called COVID-19. And Father God, that you would just allow us to see a way through this. The light that shines at the end of the tunnel. Jesus was the light of the world. And we need nothing but light right now, Father God. We need to see you. We need to hear from you. We need to feel you, Father God. And we certainly need to love you. And know that you will always continue to love us. We ask for boldness, Father God, courage. We speak to fear and we say, be gone now in the name of Jesus. Allow us to be bold in our walk and our presence with you, Father God, knowing that you are our shelter, you are our refuge, and our very present help in a time of trouble. And Father God, right now, we lift up all those who are mourning, even one that I found out last night. Father God, for the grieving families. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we look to you. Now, Father, as we prepare to hear from you, I would ask that you set me aside. There is no Pastor Jay. There's not even a Jeanette. But there is you. Allow them to see you. Allow them to feel you. Allow them to hear you and to adhere to you. And that you would move ever so swiftly now. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Be still and know.
and know that He is God. All right, we're going to get ready for our scripture lesson for today, and I'll be reading from the books of Jeremiah 29. And I'll be reading verses 11 to 20, so Isaiah 26, and I will give you those scriptures when we get to it. I'm just going to give you a brief moment to be able to connect and look it up if you have a Bible with you or you're looking it up online or you have a program, amen? But yes, the word is important because I'm not perfect, and if I get it wrong, well, you need to know it for yourself, amen? And so we encourage you to follow along, or if you're going to listen to this again, or maybe later, or you're just tuning in again, or you're listening to the recorded version of this sermon message, then certainly you want to follow along. And again, the first scripture is Jeremiah 29, and I'm going to be reading from verses 11 to 20, and I shall begin. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from the nations, and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Because ye have said, the Lord hath raised us up prophets in Babylon. Know that thus saith the Lord of the king that sitteth upon the throne of David, and of all the people that dwelleth in this city, and of your brethren, and that are not gone forth with you into captivity. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send upon them the sword, the famine, the pestilence, and will make them like vile figs that cannot be eaten, and they are so evil. And I will persecute them with the sword, with the famine, and with the pestilence, and will deliver them to be removed to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse, and an astonishment, and an hissing, and a reproach among the nations whither I have driven them. Because they have not hearkened to my voice, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them. But ye would not hear, saith the Lord. Hear ye therefore the word of the Lord, all ye of the captivity, whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. May the Lord add a blessing and a hearing and a blessing to the reading and hearing and the doing of his most holy word. We're now turning to the book of Isaiah, chapter 26. I will give you some time. And it's important, this scripture of Jeremiah 29, the key verse that everyone talks about is verse 11. And while you're looking up Isaiah 26, I'll just remind you again, he says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And in translation in King James, he said he knows the future he has for you, and he declares it. So this is so important. Okay, so now we're in Isaiah chapter 26. I'll be reading verses 1 to 8 and verses 20 to 21. I begin. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell in high, the lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the foot of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou, most upright, dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. And we go down to verse 20 and 21. Come, my people, enter thou into my chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. There endeth the reading of the Lord's most holy word. May he add a blessing to the hearing, the doing, and let it be so. We shall hear from the Lord as we continue to pray and prepare.
This life you gave is not
I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Well, one would ask that if God was going to give you a future, there would be hope in it. Because we all want something good. No one ever prays the Lord and asks the Lord to make them suffer. We all want good. We all want to look ahead and see something good. We expect something good and we await for something good. And when we ask the Lord for something good, there we are again. We expect it. And he said, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Now, as we go through so much trial and tribulation in the world with disease and pestilence, and, well, we've been speaking on the Pastor Jay Grosner show in the last few weeks about the plagues of Egypt and famine and pestilence and locusts and mosquitoes and bugs and disease, and we talked about the Black Plague, and now we're in the midst of a plague, another pandemic thing that has taken over the world and held it hostage. But although this scripture was not meant in the way that we think it was meant, we still look for hope. You see, this scripture was given to Israel in the exiles of Babylon. It was a punishment for the sins of Judah. And God was going to send the Babylonians to destroy Jerusalem and the temple and to carry away many of the people of Babylon. And at the time, Jeremiah wrote, and this is his writings. Now, Nebuchadnezzar had already removed some Jews to Babylon. And although the total destruction of Jerusalem and the temple was still to come, did you hear me? It was still to come. Jeremiah still wrote to the exiles to tell them that people would return to the land after 70 years. He knew that there was still hope. I repeat, although he knew the total destruction was going to come, he still wrote to the exiles. He said, it's okay. I know it looks really bad right now, but I know that there is hope. And he reassures them in this particular verse that God has not forsaken them. They will be restored. See, God's plan for his chosen people were for good and not for disaster, to give them a future. And I like this. It doesn't just say to give them future with hope. It says plans to give you hope and a future. So, you know, they say faith is the evidence of things hoped for. And things not seen. So when we have hope, we may not have any proof or tangibility for hope. Hope is something that we wish for, that we pray for, that we have to believe is there. And it's impossible to please the Lord without faith. So to have faith, you have to have hope. And to have hope, you have to have faith. Because you have to know that if you know that God declared something to you, a declaration is a proclamation. As they would say, and so shall it be. There you go. And that's the enforcement. That's when it became law. And so shall it be. I declare. But he didn't just tell us to have hope. Because if I recall, there's a song that says, my hope is in the Lord. Amen? Or there's nothing less. We have to have hope. We trust in God with hope. But he not only said there was hope, but he said, and a future. So the song I played this morning, Because He Lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. So I have hope. And when it says because He lives, well, I know where I am going to go and live one day. But right now, we have hope in Him. But the other question is there a future? The future could be with Him, but when He says to give you hope and a future, then He means that there is so much more ahead of us. And despite what's going on right now in our world and all this disease and dying and illness, there will be a light at the end of that tunnel. Because that hope that we have and the future that we know He has for us. Remember, it's God's plans for His chosen people. And we're going to address that shortly. But it's important that we understand, although this was in context of total destruction. See, people don't realize that, and they just read that part, but they don't know the full context of it. But ironically, with the context surrounding the scripture that Jeremiah wrote, the fact of the matter is, in the midst of disaster and destruction, there remains hope, and our hope is in nothing less than Jesus Christ. And that we need to hold on to. We need to stand strong in that. Now, the other thing that I realized, too, during this time, because people are so desperately looking for hope, they were quoting all kinds of scriptures. We read today about Isaiah, and then people were saying, oh, yes, Isaiah 26. You know, on the 26th day of the 20th year, there's quarantine and all of these things. And we were grabbing at anything and everything. And yeah, I'm going to tell you now, there was some substance to this. But the important thing is we have to remember to put things back into context because, you know, if somebody says something out of context, look, I can tell you right now, marriages have been destroyed, families have been destroyed, countries and wars have been battled because someone got something out of context. And we know that nothing but the truth shall set you free. So you cannot have hope and believe and trust in something if you don't have the right understanding of how it works. And as I've always done life application Bible study, the fact of the matter is it has to be able to be applied correctly to your life for you to be able to use it to support you as a foundation, that solid rock foundation, amen? Because all other ground is sinking sand. Praise God. But, you know, it's funny because we're talking about isolation and quarantine and, you know, some are doing well with it and some are struggling with it. Me personally, I'm having a great time because I need the downtime, amen? I'm always busy. I commute back and forth to an office that takes at least 3 hours out of my day. And, you know, you get up early, you got to get ready, all of this time. So I'm gaining back in about 5 hours in my day, amen? And the funny thing is, I hate to say this, but as a minister, I don't have to actually encourage one by one by one anymore because I'm not doing private ministering and counseling as much as I would have before because right now everybody has the same problem. It's a big problem, but everybody seems to have the same problem. And right now, everybody's reaching out to everybody because they're all trying to work together to overcome this. They declared this disease and this virus as a war, an invisible war, because they're fighting against an enemy they can't really see properly. Amen? But what does that sound like? We, as Christians, we're accustomed to fighting a battle that we cannot see. Hence why we pray, because we know what we fight against is principalities. Amen? We are fighting a battle that we pray warfare on because we are not fighting flesh and blood. So for us, we do what we can and what we know best and what we have been taught to do, and that is to just pray. Now, this scripture that everybody was using about quarantine, and it does talk about that. In Isaiah 26, it says, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpast." Yeah, isolation, quarantine, that's exactly what that is. We are heading into a time right now that's almost Passover season. Very similar. We know the story of how they had to, the Israelites had put the blood of the lamb over the door so that this plague, yes, this plague that went throughout Egypt and took everybody's firstborn would pass over those who were children of God. Amen? We pray the blood of Jesus. We pray that we being anointed by the blood of the Lamb is the fact that we believe that God has got to put a hedge of protection around us. And so we pray for that. Again, the invisible warfare, invisible battle, invisible fight. Because we pray, but the battle is not ours. It is the Lord's. So I got a little curious, and yes, being the nerdy person I am, all scholastic into books and everything else, to the matter is I did some research. And I looked up the word isolation, and I looked up the word quarantine. And ironically enough, did you realize that the word quarantine hails out of the derivative of a Spanish word, cuarenta? Meaning 40. Yes, 40. And then the word quarantine comes directly from the word quarantenta. And it is 40. And it's quarantine. And we have to think about when in the Bible were there times of quarantine? But more importantly, what is the purpose of the number 40? Well, in the Old Testament, let's just go through this very quickly and then we're going to move on. In the Old Testament, when God destroyed the earth with water, he caused it to rain how many days? 40 days and 40 nights. You can look it up in Genesis 7:12. After Moses killed the Egyptian, yes, he fled to Midian, where he spent 40 years in the desert tending flock. Acts 7, verse 30. Now, when Moses did come back, he was up in Mount Sinai for how many days? 40 days and 40 nights. See Exodus 24:18. We continue with Moses because he's just followed by the number of 40, and you'll understand why shortly. Moses interceded on Israel's behalf for 40 days and 40 nights in Deuteronomy 9, verse 10 and 25. And law, well, we'll talk about Moses some more. The law specified a maximum number of lashes a man could receive for a crime, and it set the limit to 40. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 3. The Israelite spies, they took 40 days to spy out Canaan in Numbers 13 and 25. They also wandered, well, this isn't a few days, this was years. Again, we're dealing with years, 40 years, Deuteronomy 8, verses 2 to 5. Now, before Samson's deliverance, remember the wonderful story of Samson and Delilah, the big romantic story that we know? Israel served the Philistines for 40 years. It's in Judges 13:1. Goliath, yes, we all know that story. Goliath taunted Saul's army for 40 days before David arrived to slay him. 1 Samuel 17, verse 6. When Elijah fled from Jezebel, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Horeb. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 8. The number 40 also appears in the prophecies of Ezekiel and Jonah. And in the New Testament, Jesus was tempted. Yes, I'm in my Lenten season as we speak, because we signify our Lenten season as sacrifice, because Jesus was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. That's in Matthew 4:2. Well, look it up. My Lenten season is 40 days, technically. There were 40 days between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension, and that's in Acts 1 and 3. And I know we get caught up with numbers, and sometimes we don't want to overplay it because God may not necessarily put so much weight in the number 40, but the number 40, cuarenta, forming the word quarantena, quarantine, leads to isolation. You can be quarantined for an illness. You can be quarantined for disease. You can be quarantined. But when you don't have to be quarantined, you are set and you're put there in isolation. So this is the stage where we are all at. Around the world, people have been quarantined and isolated, and we don't know what to do with ourselves. Well, first of all, we being social beings, yes, but remember 40 days and 40 nights, isolation. During that time, it's a time of growth. What are you doing with your time of growth? It's a time of healing. It's a time of rest. It's a time to sit down and meditate and rethink your life, your purpose, everything and anything. You know, we saw things about the ark, 40 days and 40 nights. It rained and they were on the ark. They were not only quarantined with animals and everybody was stuck on this thing for 40 days. But they had to be prayerful during that time of quarantine and isolation. Christians, we know how to do this. I think those of us who deal with Lent have learned a little bit about giving and sacrificing for some time period. But during your time, spend your time with the Lord. You're not alone. There are people who say, oh, I'm all by myself and I have nobody here. The Lord is with you. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. He is with you. He will always be with you. The question is, while he's with you, are you even talking to him? People were panicking. Oh, we can't go to church. The church is closed. Well, the church is only the building. We have the Lord Jesus Christ within our hearts, in our hearts. And if we don't have it there, then there's something wrong because we did not learn when we used to go to the building why he should be in our hearts. I had stated just the other day that, you know what? This is our time to shine because we have been trained up for this all of our church lives. Time is this. We have been fed. We have been fueled. We have been pumped. We have been praised like a cheerleader in training for us to go out into the world. And when we do go out in the world, well, we don't do what we're supposed to be doing. And now we're in isolation. Well, guess what? This is your chance to spend quality time with the Lord. It's not my job to keep telling you over and over and over again what you need to do to spend time with the Lord. As a pastor, we have been doing it from day one. If your pastor hasn't been doing well, you need to figure out what's going on. But I believe no matter what kind of pastor you have, we have always let you know that you need to know the Lord for yourself. We read in the scripture this morning that if you seek him, he will be found and he will be there. And he comes to those who seek him. But here's what's most important. I got out of the word isolation also could mean to be part is very important in the Bible, in the Christian walk. In 1 Peter 2, verses 9 to 10, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now, yes, now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy." In 1 Peter 1, 15 to 16, it says, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" Deuteronomy 14, verse 2, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the people are on the face of the earth." Deuteronomy 26, verses 18 to 19 says, "Also today the Lord has proclaimed you to be his special people, just as he promised you, that you should keep all his commandments, and that he will set you above, high above all nations, which he has made in praise, in name, and in honor, and that you may be a holy people to the Lord your God, just as he has spoken." You were already isolated and you didn't even know it. You were chosen. You were set apart to be a part. You were picked and chosen and moved aside from the world to be who you are for his purpose. And now you have this knowledge that you're supposed to be in isolation. Well, if you don't know what you're supposed to do, I can tell you right now, the same person who chose you and picked you and set you apart knows exactly what he needs you to do. Don't ask me. You need to speak to him. But the thing is, we need to remember that he has us. He is the one who's given us hope. He has given us the plans. He is the one who has it all set out for us. He's the one who's got the future. He has everything. And he said to go and lock your doors. Yes. He sent you into quarantine. It could very well be for the 40 days. It could be longer. But during that time, you need to know that you are supposed to be seeking him. He is your strength. He is the one. He is the only one who will get you through this. And in the meantime, you continue to pray for you pray for your church, you pray for your pastors, you pray for your family, your friends, your neighbors, and certainly to the leaders of the world, because they are in charge of what is going on. And yes, I know some of you are going through a really, really hard time because you're struggling not necessarily being in church. But you can still have church because you are the church. You are the temple. You offered yourself as a temple, holy and acceptable unto God. Amen. A living sacrifice. So I'll end it with this. In Romans 8, verses 30 to 39, and I can't even preach this. I just got to read it. It says, "And so those whom God set apart, he called. And those he called, he put right with himself. And he shared his glory with them." In view of all of this, what can we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? Certainly not God, who did not even keep back his own son, but offered him for us all. He gave us his son. Will he not also freely give us all things? Who will accuse God's chosen people? God himself declares them not guilty. Amen. Who then will condemn them? Not Jesus Christ, who died, or rather, who was raised to life and is at the right side of God, pleading with him for us. Who then can separate us from the love of Christ? Can control do it? Can trouble do it, or hardship, or persecution, or hunger, or poverty, or danger, or even death? As the scripture says, for your sake, we are in danger of death at all times. We are treated like sheep that are going to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we have complete victory through him who loved us. For I am certain that nothing can separate us from his love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor heavenly rulers or powers, neither the present nor the future, neither the world above nor the world below. There is nothing in all creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours through Christ Jesus, our Lord.
If Jesus comes tomorrow to spend some time with you, would you answer all his questions or lie to hide the truth? Would you welcome him with open arms or even let him? If Jesus comes tomorrow, what then? If Jesus calls your number, could you leave today? Are you ready to lay down your worldly goods and walk away? Would it take a month of Sundays just to tell him all of your sins? If Jesus comes tomorrow, what then? If the sky turns black as night,
Sure. You know, it's so simple. ABC. It's like 1, 2, 3. Believe and confess. Admit that you are a sinner and that you believe in him, that you believe that he was crucified, dead and buried, and 3 days later he arose. And that he's gone to prepare a place for you and for me, for all of us. But you have to believe. And you need to confess your sins, not to me, but to Jesus. Just talk to him. Some people say, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. Pastor Jay, I can't preach or I can't pray like you. I can't come up with the words you do. Do I say it with scripture? The same way you would talk to everybody and anybody, just talk to him, because God knows you. He knows your heart. He knows your circumstance. And he sees and knows all. So really, when you think about it, what you're confessing and admitting and believing to is nothing he doesn't already know. He just wants to hear you say it to him, because he wants you to ask for Jesus to come into your life. All you got to do is ask, and it shall be done. It's that simple. And remember, if you feel you're not worthy and you were with the Lord, remember, nothing can separate us. So he hasn't left you. You walked away from him. So just talk to him. He's still with you, always and forever. So as we go through this moment of trial and tribulation, as you continue to be encouraged to get through this, and whatever the outcome would be what it will be. But you know that God has you in his hands, one way or another. But we believe that he has hope for us and a future. But just be prayerful and spend some time with him, seeking him while he may be found. And remember, the joy of the Lord is your strength. He has not given us a spirit of fear. And so we will get through this. This too soon shall pass, and it certainly will pass over. So God be with you until we meet again. And remember, Jesus loves you, and so do I. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen.
I refuse to leave as I came. I refuse to remain the same. Lord, for you, there is nothing I won't change. I refuse to leave here and change. I refuse. Lord, for you, there is nothing I won't change. Ooh, yes, if you delight in sacrifice, I would bring it to you. Yes, I would, yes, I would. My sacrifice, oh God, I've made a decision. Decision. It's more than just a feeling. I've made a decision. Decision. Right here, right now. Whatever the cost. Whatever the cost.